行方をひまわりが追いかける風の音さえ聞こえないほど僕らは見つめ合う。
Welcome to episode 1 of Oz Digis, your critically nostalgic tour through the Mamoru Hosoda classic Summer Wars. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
That's me!
And Asher Soffman.
King Kazuma is my favorite.
This week, we're covering the movie's first 3 minutes, the prologue sequence.
Okay, so let's get into this first episode. So yeah, so we're watching the prologue sequence, and so it starts off with a cell phone, and a narrator starts describing Oz.
Who is this narrator?
Well, I don't think that's that important. There are always random narrators in movies.
Would you really call her a narrator? She's more like a tutorial guide or like a little paperclip guy from Microsoft Word.
Oh my goodness.
Good
point. She's Clippy.
Yeah, this whole prologue is an ad for Oz or a tutorial or something, so yeah.
Yeah. It's like when you start up Oz, this is the thing you hear.
Hmm.
Oh, no, wait. No, she was still advertising it, wasn't it? Wasn't she? She wasn't actually explaining.
Yeah. I think it was an ad for the general audience.
So, like, if you turn it on at the store before you actually buy it.
or to sell people who are really freaked out by it, and like, what is this new technology? What is this crazy?
Yeah, I'd be a little freaked out.
Yeah, so people who haven't seen, you should definitely go see the movie. People who haven't watched recently, Oz, this internet 2.0. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, crazily connected, advanced internet thing where, well, we'll actually see as they explain what else you can do. But the first thing, once we go into the cell phone, they start flying through Oz, and it's really pretty. Really nice animation. Yeah.
Definitely.
It reminds me of some other movie we've already seen.
Yeah, I wonder what. I can't put my finger on it. something I've seen recently.
Something with war also in the title.
War Games? That movie is totally unrelated.
Yeah, no, I don't see any resemblance there.
So anyway, we see the avatar creation sequence, basically like a video game creating an avatar. They look very cute, though, except for the bunny with the Texan hat that kind of follows along for the rest of this ad, who looks really creepy.
Wow, except for the one that you get to see all the time.
I thought it was cute.
It's going to be King Kazuma someday. It's going to
King Kazuma's
into that.
Also a rabbit.
Exactly.
King Kazuma is also the best. Like, I agree with myself from earlier.
Damn straight.
And then we see the mall. So apparently you can do lots of shopping in Oz. Standard things like books, media, TV shows.
Who reads in this?
Yeah, it was weird to show a library. Like, who cares about books? Crazy.
Doesn't the main character read sometimes? Isn't he a nerd?
I think he's like a math nerd. I can't remember if he reads.
Do math nerds not read? There are math books.
Just numbers.
They only look at numbers.
There are books of numbers.
They just read pi. Just go through pi. I read 10 books of pi last night. It was really nice. Oh, God. I thought it was funny how they mentioned how, like, there are, like, high-end fashion brands in Oz, and you can, like, you know, get, like, expensive fashion for your avatar. Because
was
kind
it
of...
for your avatar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
Oh.
Yes.
That was what's
that's
supposed to be
just
like
silly.
You know, that's supposed to be like bizarre and silly about it. But what it reminded me of is how with the Apple Watch, there's been so much talk of like tech and fashion, not really merging, but like being closer than ever before. But like, well, time will tell how that actually plays out.
Time will tell.
Whoa.
On Apple Watch.
And then we see like how Oz handles translation and how everyone can communicate instantaneously because everything's translated on the fly, which is actually really cool. Like, I was impressed because that's like, it doesn't seem like an idea that's too far beyond anything that we could do now. I mean, it'd be crappy translations still, but like, I'm surprised there aren't more spaces online that are like this, and maybe someday.
I thought 4 million communities was pretty low.
Was it only 4?
I thought that's what it said.
I mean, that does seem pretty low, though, actually, if it's all over the world.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at Brown, we had roughly 4 million communities.
A jillion.
Yeah. And there were only, like, 7,000 of us.
Yeah.
Oh, I got the sense, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen the rest of the movie, because we haven't watched the full movie yet, but I don't recall Oz really being an integral part of the characters' lives. So I feel like maybe it's still on the uptick, and like people are, it might not be like the whole world. I forget if they say how many people are actually using it. And the fact that they have an ad like this is a testament to the fact that they're still trying to sell people on it. So
nobody trusts that it has the most secure encryption crap.
I wouldn't trust it either. Regardless of whether or not I know what happens later on in the movie. Also, have you guys watched Gatchaman Crowds?
No.
No.
Jeff in particular, I think, would like it. Actually, I don't know if he would like it. But it also includes an Oz-like social network with Oz-like repercussions.
This is like an anime I've heard the name a lot, but not really.
It was very popular back in 2012, whenever it came out. Mm-hmm. 2014, I don't know. Recently, but like not so long ago that, or not so soon that I would have watched it of my own volition. It was something Andrew gave me to watch.
Poor Andrew not being here.
Alas.
No, not Watchmen.
Gatchaman. Gatchaman crowds. Or Gatchaman crowds? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's pronounced Gatchaman.
Yeah.
Ma, mo. It's like, that's just, I never thought about how, like, Digimon, more like Digimon?
Digimon, yeah.
Digimon.
Digimon.
I don't know what that show is you're talking about. We're a Summer Wars podcast.
Yeah, what?
We've always been a Summer Wars podcast. This is the first episode.
Some kids cartoon I might have caught an episode or two of back in elementary school. Not that we would ever talk about something so unsophisticated.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I don't think we can keep up this act anymore.
Well, we don't have any more Oz to talk about. This
yeah, we got through Oz, so
we actually talked quite a bit about it, more than I was expecting to.
Yeah, turns out we can talk about a 3-minute.
What were you expecting? You have two literary people on your podcast.
So why are we really here? Okay, we're watching Hurricane Touchdown, the first 0-2 movie. So let's just dive into that.
I'm gonna need your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Podidges.
Welcome to Podidges, episode 211, Kids in America.
Adventure 02, Hurricane Touchdown / Supreme Evolution, The Golden Digimentals, or Digimon the Movie Part 3.
Recorded March 14th, 2015.
I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
No, King Cosmo is still my favorite.
He's such a good Digimon.
Yes.
Super great.
Cosmomon.
And Asher Softman.
That's me.
Doesn't work so well. We're not switching roles.
No, it's good. It's I love wonderful. It. It's perfect.
Yeah, and Andrew couldn't join us this week because he's busy. Andrew's not here because he is in college. Colleging it up. Collegiating it up.
Schooling it up. Doing it old school.
Getting schooled.
Getting schooled, that's it.
Okay, so I just wanted to explain our perspective for this movie. It's the first time that any of us have seen it in a while, and it's been a long time, I think, for all of us. I think for me, it's been, I don't know how long, but a while. I think I was in high school when I saw it. And how long has it been for you guys?
I have no idea.
Zero. When did it come out?
I was going to say, did we see it in theater? But no, this was in Digimon movie, so of course we've seen it. I guess that would have come out in 2000, so 15 years ago. So, yeah.
Really?
That might be the last time I saw it. I'm not sure if I saw it in high school. Huh. Yeah, so it's been quite a while. And my memories of it from then are really hazy. For this podcast, we only watched the dub version. But we'd heard that the movie, like, is pretty bizarre canon-wise. And it seems like the dub especially took a lot of liberties. It seems like they changed a lot of the names from the originals from the rest of the series. So, just to, like, keep things from being too complicated and confusing, and just simplify things, we're going to use the names from the actual series. So now let's get into opening remarks about the movie. So this movie, like, I've heard so much about how it seems to, like, spark tons of debate about whether it's canon or not, so I kind of expected some things to be, like, a little loose, but, like, I didn't expect it to be this crazy. I mean, it kind of like took it a whole level beyond what I expected.
It's just like their characters are totally different.
Yeah, everyone's drawn totally differently.
Well, that's not what I meant, but well, yes, there's that too.
I guess like to some degree, it's like, you know, it's different. It's better quality animation, but like, I don't know. It's, and like
than the other movies?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not better quality movie. I'm just saying the movies in general are better quality animations. So, like, they're going to necessarily look different than the show, than the series. But like, I feel like the other movies like did a better job of keeping them looking consistent from the show, you know?
Yes.
This one took it, I think, a step too far.
Yeah.
And I'd also heard that it's like extremely boring. Like Mark FBR of With the Will has like said that he just like falls asleep on watching it. And I mean, I was surprised that it didn't feel that long. It was only 25 minutes. But apparently the Japanese version is twice as long. It's like 50 minutes and the dub is only half as long. So that could explain that.
Mm, but it still felt really boring.
A lot of setting up.
Yeah. And not a lot of things actually happening. Or when things happened, it seemed sort of unplanned. Like, it happened, but like there was no reason for it to have happened.
Yeah. And I also felt like it ended kind of abruptly. Like, a lot of things weren't resolved that were set up.
Kind of like an episode rather than a movie.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre to this movie. And there's also so much debate about, like, well, a lot of the debate about whether it's canon or not revolves around the new character introduced. And I felt like that was, like, the smallest, like, I'm like, everything else in this movie, like, makes so little sense. Like, why does it revolve around that one character? You know, like, so much else in the movie doesn't make sense in the context of the show. So, like, that seemed really weird to me that people still debate about
the
character.
Like, yeah, we can just up and leave this place. Like, we totes have money and resources. Just go.
Aren't these kids, like, 10 and 11 tops?
Yeah, exactly.
These kids just, like, ran off into the great wide world.
Yeah, like, and how... I mean, budget, maybe they could have gotten, like, money from their parents, but, like, why are their parents okay with them just going on their own places? Like, it's just, they don't bring that up at all, you know?
They're like, it's cool. It's cool.
We pick up, I don't know, maybe after Ken is defeated? Maybe after the end of 02? Maybe in an alternate universe?
Jedi sets Ty and Matt on a quest to create the best Digimon Wiki ever and destroy Wikimon in the Digimon Wiki.
Ty becomes ruthless in his Wiki domination quest, forcing Agumon to harass wild and partner Digimon.
Matt beats some sense into him, so Ty decides he really needs to work out and heads to the gym.
After assaulting the gym's manager, Ty receives the crest of dumb luck.
So the first interesting choice was that it opened with a video game menu, which I don't think we've ever seen Digimon before. I think we've seen Davis playing video games once or twice, but, like, just outright being, like, making references to Digimon related to video games was, I thought, an interesting choice. It felt like kind of overdue. I mean, we've seen connections to the internet, but...
Was it Digimon, the game? Was it Digimon World?
Although, the graphics look a little simple for that. I mean, Digimon was for PS1, and they seem pretty simple, like, for a handheld console or something. And then we see random stadium lights for some reason, and Jedi appears, and... Jedi, of course, looks like very different than in the show, but I mean, I guess they needed a new costume for him, new outfit, and I guess they need, you know, some kind of narration to explain things to the audience, which, I mean, is kind of weird. It kind of isn't something we've seen in Digimon before, but, and I don't know, the way Jedi's talking about everyone having Digimon and stuff, like, they seem pretty integrated into society now. It's like, I don't know, it's kind of like,
it's after the epilogue!
Yeah, that's what I was like, I'm really confused when
it's after the epilogue, then, like, why are Ty and Matt having such a hard time, you know?
Yeah, there's...
I feel like there's been some backsliding in characterization, like, maybe these movie writers didn't, like, watch Adventure?
What?
I mean, the only thing they got out of their relationship was, like, the rivalry, and that's not all that Matt and Ty are.
Yeah, I mean, that seemed plausible. I mean, I could see that being, like, the notes that are passed up to these writers. I mean, they can't expect, like, when you start writing, when you get a job to write for a movie, like, do they really expect you to watch 104 episodes of a TV show to catch up on it? I mean, they probably give you, like, notes and a summary, and, like, I could see that summary is, like, they have a rivalry, they fight sometimes at the end. Yeah. But I think we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes, my bad.
Yeah, so then Ty's watching TV, and his mom calls him down. And I was really confused, because, like, in the series and the other movies, like, Ty and his mom and Kari and their dad and whatever, like, they live in an apartment. But for some reason, it's a house here. I mean, I don't know, maybe they moved into a bigger house after the end of 02, if this is really set after 02.
Moving up in the world.
Yeah, maybe. And they also introduced Digimon with names that, like, don't end in Mon, so I was kind of confused, but then I was like, I guess there's a precedent for this, because, like, in the V-Terra manga, there's, like, Zero Maru and Gabo, so I was like, okay, this isn't that weird. Yeah, nicknames. I'm also confused why Tai doesn't have his goggles, but I mean, I guess if this is after 02, that kind of makes sense.
He got over it.
He got over the goggles? I don't think you just simply get over the goggles.
And there's the obvious question that came to my mind here is, like, I mean, why we're focusing on Tai if this is a 02 movie? I don't know. I mean, I guess it just has to do more with the release schedule than with the actual plot focus.
Because Davis sucks.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they...
Wow. Harsh.
I agree, though.
Ouch.
Oh, burn.
Burn. Nobody likes it.
Burn with a flame of courage. But, I mean, I could see, like, if audiences weren't really liking Davis too much, and Davis wasn't catching all the audiences, and, like, everyone loves Tai, I mean, kind of makes sense to bring him back for one last thing, you know. It would definitely attract more viewers. Yeah, so then Tai heads to Jenai's house and runs into Matt, but it was kind of cool how, like, I mean, Matt's design stayed pretty consistent, even though Tai's is really different. I think they did his design well.
Matt's got a more distinctive silhouette, I guess.
Hmm.
Easier to copy. Tai's hair, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, that must be hard to animate. I mean, even if you have a higher budget, like, it's just, like, style. And, yeah, I mean, like, it's weird how the town theory, like, it. I guess they didn't want to draw Tokyo in too much detail. I mean, it must be, like, an uncanny valley of, like, you know, if you're drawing, like, if you don't have that much budget, you can just draw, like, you know, crappy looking things in the background. But then if you have tons of budget, you can draw, like, crazy detailed things like Makoto Shinkai. And if you're somewhere in between, like, if everything looks nice and then you have these crappy backgrounds, like, it kind of doesn't make sense. So I could see how maybe they wanted to simplify the surroundings and make it more like a small town instead of a city. I mean, it really doesn't fit the plot, and it's kind of stupid to just change that and, like, change the whole world because of it, but I can see from a production standpoint why they want to do that. And I figured maybe, like, Jenai lives with them now in the real world because everyone has Digimon, so, I mean, he could just live wherever he moved.
But he's not a Digimon.
Right, but he's from the digital world, so I assume he... Right. I mean, we've seen him come to the real world, so, I mean, he could just take up...
Have we seen him come to the real world?
That was unclear who the clone, if there was an original, or if they're all clones, or... Because there's that one in Izzy's room, which doesn't get a special name.
Ah, correct.
But, I mean, he could just be another clone that's unnamed. This whole clone thing was just bizarre, never explained.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Tai and Matt fighting, nice homage to their fight season one. See, they want to bring that back for audiences to appreciate something they missed in the show. Although they weren't wrestling on the floor, so I could see why the movie wasn't that successful.
They could have kissed, though.
Whoa, Ashley. Whoa, Ashley.
Okay.
Hey, I'm with Ashley on this one. We don't just poo-poo the shipping possibilities. It's important to note that they're there.
So then the Tai and Matt are going to Jenna's house, and Jenna gives them digi-analyzers.
But they're like, sucky digi-analyzers. Actually, I didn't understand how these digi-analyzers worked.
Well, I mean, like, the digi-analyzer that Izzy had, like, was in some ways a lot more useful because they didn't have to, like, get the Digimon. They could just look at it, and then it would play it. But, like, he had to carry on that crazy laptop. And, like, how did he even charge a laptop? I mean, that didn't make sense in the series. But, I mean, with this, it seems like it's, like, much more of a pocket computer. It seems a lot more handy in some ways.
But no, because you have to get the Digimon.
Yeah. So
it seems like even with the Digi Analyzer in the show, like, you usually had the Digimon that were around telling you what was on it anyway.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it was weird because it was just like a screen for the audience, kind of, and then the Digimon would narrate it.
But Izzy was able to play it back on his computer.
Oh, yeah, when they did that, did they actually have, like, voiceover?
Well, or I don't know if it was voiceover, but there was, like, the thing.
Yeah. Hmm. But, yeah, so we're talking about kind of catching Digimon, which is a so they also introduced this concept in the movie of these, like, little digi-eggs that they put Digimon in to travel with.
Well, isn't that just kind of like the D-terminal?
Yeah, I guess so, but, I mean, these are like, they get, like, a physical object for each Digimon, but, yeah, I mean, it is kind of like the D-terminals, and... I mean, it's kind of weird because they have these digi-eggs, and digi-eggs can go in D-terminal, so I wonder, like, could they put the Digimon in the digi-egg and put the digi-egg in the D-terminal? They should try that if they haven't tried that. Yeah, so the conceit of this is apparently that, like, to get things on their digi-analyzer, they need to actually catch them in these digi-eggs. Which, I don't know. I could see how, like, from a video game standpoint, that may be more compelling, but from a storytelling point, like, it's kind of weird to see them just, like, trying to capture everything, take, you know, like, enslave the entire world.
Yeah, why didn't they get Ken for this part instead of Ty and Matt?
Ooh, that'd be good.
Like, the early days of the Digimon Emperor.
Hmm. His rise to power.
Yeah, exactly.
So Jedi lets them choose their partner Digimon, which may be like, so, is this after 02? Is this before? Is this, I think it has to be an alternate timeline at this point. Like,
Yeah.
And I mean, I've heard a lot that, like, movies and OVAs in Japan have much less of a... They care much less about canonicity. Things are basically just canon within their own thing. Like, so this movie is canon to itself, but it doesn't... No one cares about being canonical to the rest of the series. And, like, in that context, I'm kind of understand this bizarre alternate what-if scenario.
But then Ty and Matt still end up with Agumon and Gabumon.
Yeah, but this time they get to choose. It's sort of even more significant, like, this. They weren't assigned. They actually, you know.
They could have chosen Palmon!
Who would want to choose Palmon?
Whoa! I'm going to stop you right there. Whoa! Kicking Jet off this podcast. I would have started with Palmon. If this was a video game, I definitely would have started with Palmon, like, at least 5 times. 7. And then sometimes with Gabumon.
I mean, Palmon digivolves into Togemon, who is a badass, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You shut your face, Jeffrey.
Palmon's basically worth it just for Togemon, though. That's all there is. Yeah, I mean, the fact that they end up with the same Digimon as the show, I mean, there's also this, like, fate aspect to it, like, they're destined for each other, and... So I think that then we cut to after they Ty and Mech are on their own. I mean,
Matt is all emo and runs away again.
You call that emo?
it's not quite as emo as the show. But then there's a precedent for them splitting up and going on their own, but I found it interesting how they do that right from the bat here.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said, like, writers don't grasp the friendship aspect of Ty and Matt. They just see the rivalry and want to push it as far as it can go.
Yeah. In that aspect, it's like the Sora-Ty romance in our war game, where it's like, well, there's this guy and there's this girl, so let's just put them together, like, without regard to what else is going on in the character dynamics in the rest of the series.
Yeah.
And, yep, so then we see Ty trying to catch lots of Digimon in these digi-eggs, and he even tries to, like, capture a tamer's partner Digimon in one of them.
So rude.
I mean, I thought it was cool, though, how he, like, basically Jedi didn't tell him about these social rules, and he has to figure them out on his own. Like, he learns he went over this boundary, and, like... I don't know.
I guess that could play into his becoming a diplomat in the epilogue.
I kind of wish they focused on this moment a little bit more, because instead of him being like, no, like, it's my right, or, like, you know, having to, like, struggle with his ideas and, like, reconciling, he was just like, okay, I won't do it, you know, and that's it. And yeah, it felt weird. And then Matt comes back and, you know, starts antagonizing Ty and gets him to fight. They fight each other. And, I mean, I don't know, like, there were fights between Digimon in the main series, but it took a while for us to get there. So I thought it was kind of brave that they went right into that here.
Fights between Digimon or fights between the Digidestined?
Yeah, I've seen the Digidestined, like, the partner Digimon.
Okay, I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, that happens episode 1, I mean. Yeah, I was like, what?
Don't be crazy, Ash. Yeah, I mean, but I could. It's brave, but also, like, this is a totally different format. I mean, you kind of have to jump right into that. You can't really have tons of build up for that.
This is like Pansy Ty, though.
Yeah, seriously.
He's all like, I don't want Agumon to fight. I don't want Agumon to fight. I just want to go around and get all the Digi-eggs.
And enslave Digimon, like.
Yes.
But he wants to enslave Digimon without having a Digimon that can kick their ass.
Yeah. I mean, but, like, at the point where you... I've kind of wondered about that, about, like, when I see movies and their characters, like, not fantasy movies where like people actually have powers and can like kill people, but movies where it's like realistic, I guess is the right word. And they
you're calling Digimon realistic. But like,
I'm talking about like movies where there are characters who are like in extreme positions of power, like in gangs or, you know, I guess gangs and like mobs and the mob and stuff like that, where like, I wonder like, why is this person who is in charge? Like, why does he have so much power? Like, couldn't, like, he's not like physically that strong. Like a lot of times they're like represented as not actually being that fit. And it's like, what is it about them that has so much power? And it's just that the people follow them. And so, I mean, I guess that's kind of what they're going for. Like Tai doesn't want to have to be that strong or like have this like big enforcer, but like just have everyone follow him.
So
I don't know.
Opposite to his normal personality, though.
Hmm. Well, I mean, the whole concept of like enslaving Digimon doesn't really exist aside from Ken in the series.
Maybe we should stop calling it enslavement.
Think it's like offensive?
Well, it's just like, if they're trying to make it something it's not, maybe we should also make it something it's not. Otherwise, like, it just makes Tai's whole character seem really skeevy.
Yeah, but it is. I mean...
No, he learns that it's working in harmony.
Except it's working in harmony with his slaves.
Yeah, after he, like... It's like a Stockholm syndrome. Like, he enslaves them, and then they're like, okay, we don't actually hate working for you that much. You know?
He gives them some food, and then it's like, cool, bro.
That's exactly how slavery is works.
He rubs their head, and he pets them.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't know. It reminds me of, like... It reminds me of things like unpaid internships or... or like the NCAA,
wow.
And like people who are like unpaid but like choose to go into it and like they want it, but like people from the outside are like, no, that's like totally unjust. And it's like, I don't know how to feel about the situation, because like it does feel totally unjust, but like the people are choosing to do it too, and like they want it,
but they actually are pretty like not okay. Unpaid internships and stuff,
right?
They don't want... You never want an unpaid internship because you want an unpaid internship. You want an unpaid internship to help you get something better in the future.
Wait. So, like, it seems like what's wrong with that is the unpaid internship, but not the... It's still like, in the person's best interest to be taking that so they can get something later. I don't know.
Is it, though?
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like...
There should not be a system in which that is true.
I guess. I don't know. It's just, like, looking at it from, like, a supply and demand aspect, it's like... There is so much demand for the experience and like connections you get from internship that like they don't have to price it at something. So it's kind of like the market bears that price. And
it prices out people who need money.
Right. It's the kind of thing where like you kind of have to like step back and be like, well, just looking at like laissez-faire economics, it's like that doesn't, you know, that's not humane. Like you have to like, you know, set a... Like, that's why we have the minimum wage, because it's... Well, okay. There is actually... The history behind the minimum wage is, like, much more complicated, and I forget the actual reason, but it has nothing to do with, like, humanity and being nice to people.
Of course it doesn't.
I'm trying to remember what it is.
Who would ever expect it to?
It's, yeah. It's actually a really bizarre origin. But anyway, it's some... I wish I remember what it was. I think there's an episode of Planet Money podcast about it. But anyway, I'll link to that in the show notes. But, So yeah, I feel like it's the kind of thing where like, you know, there should be something set in place to like prevent that kind of thing happening. How does this relate back to Digimon?
I have no idea.
Because so I guess it's the whole like...
Because the Digimon won it.
Right, like they're enslaved, but they're okay with it.
Are they really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Agumon seems skeptical. He makes skeptical faces, like,
he kind of...
That's the only really big difference. I forgot, the big departure in this movie is that the Digimon don't talk.
He makes... Yeah, they all just are the ones that make grunty noises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but we get the sense they are, like, in the main series...
They make faces.
Well, in the main series, it seems to be a divide between Digimon who are sentient and talk, and Digimon that are, like... maybe not sentient, like have less intelligent thought processes and like are just more like beasts. And this seems to be like these partner Digimon are sentient, but like just can't talk, you know, like they still like fully emote and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But they don't seem that smart either.
Yeah.
They're sentient, but they're not very clever.
They rely more on their humans.
Well, I mean, they're young. Like, they were just born, right? I mean...
It's unclear. I mean, even in the original, they were baby two, or in training, so they would have technically also been young.
True. Well, I mean, I feel like they didn't have much strategical sense in the show.
They had more than this one did.
Hmm, that's true. Anyway, the fight between Matt and Tai and Agumon and Gabumon ends with, like, Gabumon... I thought it was really dark how it's, like, Gabumon aggressively biting Agumon.
I was like, whoa. It's like all our talks about violence and the way Digimon Adventure and O2 struggle with violence against Digimon, and then, like, that just went down.
It's weird because it's, like, it's so different and less...
It's like a whole different show.
But it's weird because it's, like, so much, in some ways, so much more tame than, you know, like, big giant lasers and, like, kill, like, you know, things that, like, disintegrate once they're destroyed and, like, you know, really big scale attacks. But still, it's, like, I think it's because it's so much more real. You know, like, it feels like you're actually watching animals. It's, like, you can imagine, like, a cat biting a dog and the dog being, like, scared by it. You know, it's, like, so much closer to home. Also, you can imagine getting bitten yourself and being like, ow.
It looked pretty brutal.
Yeah, it was a little intense. I was like, I don't remember the feeling the intensity of these fights.
Well, yeah, well, my memory is so hazy. I don't really remember much about this movie when I first saw it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So then Tai sulks. You know, it's kind of like, psh. I mean, I thought it was weird how he went from, like, he initially only cared about research and, like, capturing all his Digimon, and then as soon as he, like, loses one battle, he's like, oh, well, I can't win battles. And it's like, but you didn't care before.
Well, he cared because it was Matt.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I didn't really address the fact that, like, he only cared because, like, Matt forced him into caring, you know, like...
Well, that's normal.
Is it?
Matt's forced him to care about things before.
I guess he's, like, punched him into... punched him into making sense. I don't know. Actually, no. Matt was the one. I can't remember when they're in the snow in the beginning of season one. Who was wrong?
Tai punching sense into Matt that time. But Matt has made Tai think about, like, or he's tried to make Tai think about the consequences of, like, war.
I don't know. What it reminded me more of is, like, having friends who I've been, like, really close to, and then kind of I've, like, subsumed their interests without really trying to, but just, like, you know, like, I'd be interested in one thing, and then, like, you know, this friend is interested in this other thing, and it's like, oh, it's actually really cool, and I'm interested in that too, and then, like, you know, instead of, like,
friends.
You don't think they're friends?
Well, normally they are, but I don't see it here.
I mean, even if they're not, like, friendly, like, they're antagonistic, but it's still, like, it seems like Tai is only caring about fighting so that he can beat Matt. So he can have this rivalry, which isn't what he cared about. And I don't know what the show is telling us. It seems to be implicitly condoning the fact that he cares more about this rivalry now.
Yeah, and he's forcing his slaves to fight instead of just being slaves.
Which is okay if they're just slaves, as long as they're happy. So Tai's sulking, and then some... I guess this is the new character everyone talks about, comes by, but we don't really hear his name at this point for some reason, and tells him about... What does he say? Do you guys remember?
Well, he says if you want to get stronger, you need to learn. You need to grow as a person. Like, he straight up was like, come see. There are, like, 8 crests. You need to go and figure out which one you connect with, you know? If you're a Digi-destined.
I just thought... I don't remember this part of the movie happening. I thought Willis was the one who needed help from Tai and Matt. Not
don't
the other way around.
Don't be silly.
Don't be silly. Okay.
I do remember, though, like, I kind of remembered this scene because it, like, happens in the middle of the woods and, like, and they're, like, separated from everyone else. And I don't know, for some reason, that, like, that scene of them being in the woods really stuck with me. And maybe I'm getting it if it was a different movie or, like, a different cartoonist all the time. But I thought there was a lot more crying, but I'm probably just getting it if it was something else. Because, I mean, they don't really cry that much in Digimon, or the guys don't at least.
Did Tai almost cry? I forget. I don't know.
Tai totally cried.
In this movie?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember when he does in the series.
Cries over Kari.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
Actually, I can't remember specific examples, but I think the series is actually pretty good about showing dudes crying, but I think they still show girls crying more.
Well, I'm not sure about that, because I think Matt cries the most out of the character.
Oh, Matt. Matt, I really should just... I think I'm still wavering between, like, whether from season one, Ty, Matt, or Sora are my favorites. I was just like, no, definitely Matt. Totally Matt. I'm Matt all the way. I found it really weird how, you know, Ty sets his mind on fighting now, and are we supposed to think that he doesn't care about catching Digimon anymore, or, like, is he gonna do both? Like, can he have his cake and eat two, or, like...
Yes!
No other response to that, actually, just yes.
Yes. I don't know what this loser is gonna do.
I guess it's a fault of, like, the movie not really tying things up. So then Ty heals his Digimon. Apparently, and now there are, like, I guess this must be, like, in the future or whatever, the same place when Digimon are more commonplace, to have, like, facilities to heal Digimon, which, I mean, is a cool concept. It's kind of, I don't really know how they heal Digimon in, I never thought about
it. They eat food!
Yeah, they just, like,
that's kind of it.
I mean, they
well,
eat food
I mean,
to recharge.
Well, in the original V-Pet, there was a medicine button.
I feel like they just eat food to recharge energy level, and then to heal wounds, they just, like, sit around. Just over time, they just heal. Just,
like, yeah, it's kind of like an overnight deal. Well, we would have to ask Joe, since he's the first Digi-World doctor.
Oh, you're right! I wonder if
so
Joe
maybe
found
maybe he's established, yeah.
But that wouldn't... This timeline makes no sense, because then time at...
This timeline already didn't make any sense.
You're right. Especially in the dub. Just
I
makes
was
set in
an alternate universe.
Yeah.
Right, but I would assume that Joe would still be the same age as them.
Well, maybe he's a genius.
So while Ty is exploring the town, he's, like, in a museum for some reason with, like, fossils? I don't know. I guess there are, like, fossils of Digimon in this movie? That was really weird. Have we seen fossil Digimon before?
Skullgreymon.
Yeah, I think... I wonder if that's a reference to that. I didn't think about that.
Kind of looked like it, didn't it?
Yeah. I guess I didn't think of it because, like, Skullgreymon's bones are white and...
Although Skullgreymon doesn't have wings. Those were definitely wing structures.
So there's this little moment that bothered me. Maybe I'm stretching, but, like, so there are these two girls walking by when he's in this museum, and they're talking about this, like, tamer in town, Willis, apparently. At least that's the original name from what I can tell. And there are no female characters in this movie aside from Ty's mom and background characters. He's just, like, are there to give information. And we finally get two characters, like, talking to each other, and they're just talking about a guy. Like, this movie totally fails the Bechdel test.
Wow.
It's a standard thing of, like, it's made to sell to boys, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there are female characters in Digimon. Like, they use them. They only use Ty and Matt and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
So it goes. So then Ty goes to fight the tamer that everyone's talking about. Yeah. And apparently he specializes in rock Digimon. I don't know.
We didn't even mention this, like, that they can have more than one Digimon. We mentioned enslaving them, but we didn't really talk about how they can have more than one. It's kind of weird.
I mean, I kind of find it weird how that's never really explained in the show. You know, like, I don't understand, like, it seems like it could be plausible that they could just strike up a friendship with Digimon, and that Digimon could just follow them around and be their friend, and, you know, like, follow orders from them, and maybe form a bond that makes them Digimon. I mean, like, I feel like the way that they only have a set number of Digimon, they only have one partner Digimon, and that never changes and everything, like, that's kind of a weird narrative, I don't know, restriction that is similar to how, like, in 02 they can only DNA Digivolve with one partner. Like, in the comics universe, like, it doesn't exactly make sense, but you kind of need it to not blow up possibilities. Like, now I think about, like, what would have happened if Wizardmon hadn't died? Like, would Wizardmon have followed them around? And, like, being Kari's second partner?
That would have been awesome!
Yeah.
Aw, oh, dude! Fanfic me up! What? I am completely serious right now, and I do not know why you are laughing.
So yeah, Ty and Willis have this, like, epic fight. I mean, the animation, I don't know, it didn't really blow me away. It was nice to see, like, actual tactics being used in Digimon. Like, they weren't just, like, you know, one attack and then, you know, blows them away or doesn't work, whatever. They actually, like, show them moving around each other and stuff. So that was interesting.
Well, some of the attacks still just don't work.
Sure, the attacks still don't work, but it's not like most Digimon fights are just, like, two Digimon standing, one doesn't attack, the other's destroyed. That's it. You know? So it's more than that. And the whole thing is frustrating, though, because, like, Ty is so dense, and Willis has to basically tell him strategy that he then uses to beat him, and it's just... And the tactic he ends up using to win was just, like, a random luck that it actually worked, so...
What do you mean? He totally knew that silly string was still there.
I mean, I guess it's calling... I mean, it's not that different from when Ty activates his Crest of Courage in Season 1, where, like, you know, he... When going to the barrier, he doesn't actually have information about where it should be. He just guesses and happens. Like, he's being brave and courageous, but he's also just being surviving by dumb luck at that point. You know, like, so, I mean, I guess there's always some silly dumb luck involved in Ty getting crests. Well, I mean, that was in activating the crest, and here he gets the crest.
It's just always dumb luck in Ty being Ty. Not Ty.
Yeah, so that's the end of the movie. I mean, it has... I guess it has an ending in Ty getting the crest, but aside from that, like, it didn't feel very conclusive. It felt like there, it didn't seem up to the caliber of the other two movies. Are we going to do RDD?
You guys can.
You can try.
I lose by default.
Well, I can give you one.
I don't want one.
Okay, so Ashley.
Jeff. No, you choose first, Jeffrey.
Okay, so mine is when Ty is right outside the gym. And they're, like, there's two people guarding the gym or whatever. And one of them's like, well, I'm paraphrasing because they use the weird names in the dub, but you're light years away from Willis. And I'm just like, I mean, like, light years is a measure of distance, not time. So, like, it doesn't make any sense. But what can I expect?
That's your ridiculous dialogue?
Yeah, wow.
I just appreciated the dialogue. Ty, you scratch. Random girl. It's not very effective.
it was like, is that a reference to Pokemon? I mean, what is that?
When did they have attack names like Scratch?
It's almost like this is Pokemon.
This episode of Podigist was brought to you by Pokemon Origins and gullible listeners like you. You can find the show notes for this episode by questioning authority and distrusting everything you see on the internet for one day a year at podigist.com/003. Follow Podigist on Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook to get lots of extra images, gifs, and other fun stuff related to the show. You can also send us feedback by entering Podigist into whatever weird April Fool's joke Google comes up with this year. I'm Jeffrey Jeff on Twitter, Ashley's AshMcD00 on Twitter, and Asher's AsherDashery on Tumblr. If you like the show, subscribe and leave a review in iTunes, and share the podcast with your friends. If any of your friends don't like Digimon, say our friendship was just an April Fool's joke and never talk to them again. Join us next time as we actually discuss Hurricane Touchdown or the final segment of Digimon the Movie on Podigist. 0-2 heads are better than one.
Smell you later! Welcome to episode 1 of Ozzigis, your critically nostalgic tour through the Mamoru Hosoda classic Summer Wars. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley. We should do it like that.
Oh my god, you totally right.
Let's do it.
Who wants to be Jeff? Who wants to be Jeff today?
Should I be Jeff?
Should I reply to Ash?
I don't care. I want to be Jeff so that I don't have to respond to...
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Wait, I don't know my catchphrase, though.
Exactly. Now you know how I feel.
I have my catchphrase ready.
So Ashley is staying Ashley?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, you want to... Okay.
Wait, or I could be Ashley and then Ashley could be Asher.
Or one of you could be Andrew.
That's just confusing.
Yeah.
at least if we say the three names that are us right now.
Okay,
like,
fine.
So
whatever.
I'll be Ashley.
Okay. I'll be Asher then. I'm Asher. Okay.
And Asher Softman.
King Kazuma is my favorite.
That's going to be mine. When I was going to be Ash. Sorry.
Seriously?
Yes, it was. I was going to say King Kazuma is the best, but...
Is that how I come off?
Oh, no. Like, that was just what I wanted to say, and I was...
I wanted to say.
I see.
But then when I was Ashley, I was like, well, I have to do this, so...
This week, we're covering the movie's first 3 minutes, the prologue sequence.
Thank you for that, Jeff.
You're welcome, Asher. Wait, who are you again? Are you Ashley? I can't keep Ash people straight, you know?
Wow, way to assume they're all straight. That is very headed
on
one of you.
That's a thing that I, Jeff Ruberg, do all the time.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure if we should actually act like we're...
No, I think we should stop at this point. Because I don't know where we go from here.
We've already gone too far.
We don't have to talk about...
Yeah, you tell him. That's my dog, Kira. She has opinions about this. What?
You shouldn't reveal that Kira is in your house. Kira.
Are you making a Death Note joke at
me? Yeah.
I think so.
That's what I have to say about that.
Kira, why are you so upset?
Elle might listen to the podcast. Yeah, I mean, the fact that they end up with the same Digimon as the show, I mean, there's also this, like, fate aspect to it, like, they're destined for each other, and... So even if it's an alternate world, like, they still are attracted to each other.
Whoa.
Okay,
that's not the kind of shipping I like.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. I was about to compare it to, like, Aida, and, like, people being in love forever, and, like,
throughout
reincarnations, but, like, No.
No.
No means no.
I mean, that shipping exists. I don't care for it.
On a side note, that'll cut out, that I actually really like that moment, because it is like such a moment that people actually do in the game.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
I never did that.
Really? You never tried it?
I don't totally think so. Well, maybe... I've done it by accident where I would, like, leave a game open and then, like,
and then just throw Pokeballs when you came back to it
and be like, oh, this wild. The Pokeball
sign. Oh, you thought it was a wild Pokeball?
Oh. Yeah, like, I'd leave something alone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
About it. But I've never tried to catch someone else's Pokemon, no. Like, even as a, how old were we, 9, 8? I knew.
Yeah, 8 or 9.
That wasn't going to work. Don't they say, like, they explain that in the game?
They might. I'm not sure if they do, actually. I think it might be, like...
They do in later games.
And they might, like, I think it might be a character you meet later on that says it or something. Like, that guy who blocks the road.
Oh, yeah, the guy. Yeah.
Hmm.
That guy.
Yeah, there are a lot of moments in this OVA, whatever it is, of things directly from the game, kind of winking and nodding at the viewer.
Yeah, I noticed that.
What are your, like, genuine, not-joking impressions of the movie, or the show, Ash? Like, it's your first time watching it, right?
Boring.
Oh, really?
It is boring.
Oh, no. I really like it. It's not that boring.
It's pretty boring.
I feel like it was, like, not maybe not dense, but, like, what should I have done? Like, skipped over these moments? I don't know.
It's just, like, yeah, I could play the game and have so much more fun.
Yeah, basically.
You're party poopers.
It's boring.
Just can't help that it's boring. Yeah. And like, we've done this story ourselves with more, you know, like more of ourselves.
Tons more filler.
No, like you playing the game. Like, I'm sure all of us have played this game over and over again. So it's literally just that.
Yeah. And like, people have come up with such more interesting personalities for Red. Like, let's be real. He's nothing. I like silent Pokemon savant Red much better than this Red. Yeah, and he's forcing his slaves to fight instead of just being slaves.
Which is okay if they're just slaves, as long as they're happy. This show. This movie.
Oops.
At what point do we give up the charade?
We don't know that much. We're near the end.
All of Brock.
I don't know much to say about
Wallace.
That.
Willis.
I actually don't have that many notes about that because I'm just like, I don't know, they fight.
Yeah, it just kind of
gets increasingly harder too.
Yeah, like it talk like I was like, it's like Gotsumon, but if he lost his body and just has his head and arms and.
Well, he says if you want to get stronger, you need to learn. You need to grow as a person. Like, he straight up was like, come see. There are, like, 8 crests. You need to go and figure out which one you connect with, you know? If you're a Digi-destined. How was that? Did that work for you?
Yeah.
That
was good.
I'm here all week.
I really can't tell if listeners are going to be like... find this, like, super funny or, like, super silly?
I think it's going to be super confusing. Mostly. I think we should have given up more hints earlier so they could at least be in on the joke. Nobody likes feeling like they're out of the joke.
I think we've left decently subtle,
you know, capturing hints. Capturing Digimon in Digi-Eggs. I should have said, like, red
he
and white
Digi-Eggs.
You said
Origins at some point.
I did?
Yeah,
you did.
It's one of you did.
I feel like it's an origin story.
Yeah.
Side serious note, I really like how Brock, like, chooses which Pokemon to use based on Red's experience. Because that sets up, like, the plausibility of having gym leaders that are so crappy because they scale back their skills for the player.
And it makes sense given, like, later Pokemon games where you go and fight these guys again and they are much stronger.
Well, later Pokemon games being, like, the one. I wish that became a thing in all of them, but...
Whoa, wait.
Well, no, like,
in
you can fight
Pokemon
them.
In later Pokemon games, the gym leaders are stronger?
No, you can go back and fight them. In Johto, you can go back to Kanto and fight them, and they're stronger. And then, like, in other games, like, in the remake, or, let me think. I know in Soul Silver, you can, like, challenge gym leaders a second time, and they will be stronger. And I think that carried on to later games where you could go challenge them outside of their gyms. In, like, Battle Frontier, and maybe not Battle Frontier. I still don't understand Battle Frontier.
I mean, like, light years is a measure of distance, not time, so, like, it doesn't make any sense. But what can I expect?
That's your ridiculous dialogue?
Yeah, wow.
I don't think you get the joke.
Does Ash get the joke?
The joke is someone actually says that in Pokemon. Like, if you talk to them after you beat them, they take it back. Like, someone actually says, you're light years away from facing Brock. And then after you beat them, they're like, light years is... time, not distance.
Oh.
Yeah.
Still not that funny.
Wow, thanks.
I want to read the one that's actually funny, but it relies on their real names.
Oh, just really? Say it for us, Ashley.
The
just
one in the beginning when they're, like, picking Pokemon, he's like, I have to pick Charmander because he's red, and I'm red hot, like, I'm gonna be on fire.
God.
And then Professor Oak's like... are you gonna choose Squirtle because your name is Blue? And then he's like, no, I'd never choose Squirtle for something as ridiculous as that. I'm just gonna choose Squirtle because it can beat Charmander.
Blue is a treasure. I'm upset he didn't say smell you later, like, ever.
Oh, that's true.
Really upset.
Wait, so does he actually say that in the game? Or is that a Gary thing?
Oh, every time he leaves, he's like, smell you later. It's not a Gary thing. I don't think Gary ever says it. It's a Blue thing.
Smell you later.
Smell you later.
Did I say it? Smell you later.
Did you say it? You don't know?
I think I, like, didn't finish the later. I don't know.
Smell ya.
Smell ya.
Like, how do you...
No.
Smell you later.
Okay.
That's not how I would say it, though.
How would you say it?
I'm just copying you guys' cadence.
Well, how would you say it?
Would you say it?
That's all you.
I'd say it's so much nastier.
Please say it.
Smell you later.
What was that voice? that nasal.
Smell you later.
Wait, Ashley, is that you?
Yeah.
Was that you or was it?
It was Ashley the second time.
Why isn't it working?
Sting Mon.
Wait, so you guys can hear that?
No.
No.
Oh, well, I'm hitting Sting Mon. That's not doing anything.
Aww.
How sad.
But why isn't it doing anything?
Magical sound box issues.
I actually didn't delete it. I don't even know how.
Yeah, I guess the soundboard just acts funky when it's on the past trial thing. Because I played before, but I think it, like, expires after 10 minutes or something now.
Oh, no.
Well, it's frustrating.